You're listening to Auto D, coming at you live.
Yes, which way, what, when, how? Mr. Auto D, flip the track right now.
Hey, I'm Auto D. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to listen to some great music and talk to some really cool people. And I know there's a lot of things you could be doing, so I appreciate that you're getting with this. Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in. I am your host, Otto Daniolo, and tonight my guest is singer-songwriter Rhonda Jo Hickok-Mast. And she'll be with us live after this track from Jonathan Brook called My Misery.
My misery doesn't like company. I can do this by myself. I can ride the undertow. I don't need your help. Because I'm basking in the afterglow of one more desperate night. No one needs to know exactly where I go, because I'm ripping with the tide. Love's hit or miss, but I can handle this. No one needs to know. My misery. My misery. You're a fine one to talk about sympathy as you bluster and you bark. There's always someone new who cling and crush on you, and there goes another heart. Yeah, 'cause you're a master of all things sleight of hand. You're the horse before the cart. You made such a mess, it's anybody's guess when the next show starts. Love's hit or miss, but you can handle this. No one needs to know your misery. Your misery. Bar of woe. It takes one to know one who knows. Last call for the undertow. Give me one more for the road. Yeah, but don't go yet. I'm not done with you. I can use a little light. Maybe I don't want to be alone tonight. Maybe I'm too tired to fight. Life's hit or miss, we can handle this. No one needs to know. It's that old adage, it's love's sweet triage, and it just might steal the show. And my misery just might need company.
And that was My Misery by Jonathan Brook from her CD, My Mother Has Four Noses. And on that note, allow me to welcome to the show this evening's guest, my lovely and talented friend, Rhonda Jo Hitchcock Mast. How are you doing?
I am good. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks good. For joining me tonight.
No, thank you.
It's funny. I mean, we talked about getting married and the whole name thing earlier. And then that guy, it's like a mouthful for me when it wasn't before. It's kind of funny. Well, let me just clear something up. Your mother doesn't have four noses, does she?
No.
So that's a unique thing with Jonathan. I'll have to talk to her one day about that.
Right.
Well, listen, you are a heck of a songwriter yourself.
I try.
Well, I think you could. I would have bought that, you know, a few years back. Your past, just trying. I think you're really good. You've got some great material.
Thank you.
And recently, you've had a couple interesting things happen. You had a recent placement.
Yes. Well, it's been a little bit, but yeah, okay. It was on a TV show called Summerland.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And tell me about that song.
It was a co-write, and it happened to be one of those things where the co-writer handed the CD off to Les Scott, producer, mm-hmm. publisher, and said, hey, take a listen to this. And long story short, Les liked it. Like two of them, actually. We recorded two different songs with him, and he put it on his project, and it got picked up by the show within like a week.
Really?
Yeah.
See,
it was insane.
I had Les pick up five of my songs, and 4 years later, he's like, dude, you want these back?
You want these back?
I can't seem to do anything with these. Like,
you know, it's a needle in a haystack, I guess.
I'm like, Les, why did you take them? No, but here's a good friend. He was on the show a while back, actually.
Yeah.
In fact, I saw Les yesterday. It's an ASA thing on the West Side. They had a songwriter in the round thing, and I participated for the first time in ever.
Nice.
I've never done that with them.
Nice.
And and what's funny is, you know, I do shows with, yes, my band, but this was the first time I played something all by myself on guitar in front of a bunch of people all playing guitar songs, you know. And I had picked out this pretty little ballad, and by the time we came around, everyone had played comedy songs.
Really?
So I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to do that. So I picked another tune, and I started it way too fast.
Uh-oh.
And I got through the verse that fast. I started to hit the chorus. It's like, okay, I'm just going to have to slow this down. It just felt so funny. But anyway.
Well, that's cool.
Didn't mean to hijack that. All about Les. There you go. So now you've been writing for how many years would you say you've been a songwriter?
At least 20.
So it's been a little while.
A little while, yeah.
I was talking on Facebook today about going back through old songs and that you wrote when you were a beginning songwriter. And then as a writer now with a little bit more experience, you know, would you say that your songs generally are better?
Yeah.
So now when you go back to hear an old song, do you go, oh, that one bit, that one line or that one melody is good?
Yeah.
Do you leave the song alone or do you steal it and rewrite it and pretend that song never happened?
I haven't gone there yet, but I just don't know that I want to. I want to keep moving forward. But maybe. I mean, I haven't gone there yet.
I went there today for the
you
first
did.
Time.
You did? Okay.
I had someone tell me they wanted to use a song, you know, but they wanted to hear it different. And it was written for a metal project.
Oh, wow.
And they wanted an acoustic guitar version. And, of course, it was all written on one note with, like, one chord. It's just horrible. So I had to create a new thing out of it. And it was like, holy cow, this is fun. I had never done that before. So I wondered if you'd been through that.
I have not. Not yet.
Well, take one of your oldest tunes and find the cool thing. You thought it was all cool then, you know?
Yeah, you do.
Take the
yeah.
thing you still think has merit and do it, write a new song, even if you give it a new name.
All
and
right.
if you steal from yourself, you probably won't get sued.
Probably not.
You probably won't sue yourself. So you'll get away with it. So when did this all get started for you? I mean, you're a guitar player. Do you play anything else?
No, I barely play guitar. Actually, okay, so, I co-write right,
so
a lot.
You're barely a guitar player.
I'm barely a guitar player.
Okay. Any other instruments you barely play?
Piano.
Piano?
Yeah.
So how did this whole music thing leak into your life?
I love singing. I've been singing since I was a kid. And
like
so,
3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah. I guess I could remember about 5 or 6. Yeah.
Okay.
Musical
family or?
Mom can sing. She loves singing, but not a musical family.
So what brought it into you? And what did you notice about music? Was it something on TV, the radio?
I actually did some choir things in school and mm-hmm. just really enjoyed it. And then I just started.
Choir
yeah,
at 5?
Choir. Not at 5. When I loved singing then, of course. But I'm saying what really made me really, really think,
okay.
I want to be a singer. I want to sing.
Okay.
Probably about 5th grade.
Okay.
You know, doing some choir stuff. Yeah. So, yeah.
What are some of the earliest songs you remember really digging?
I remember singing Angel of the Morning by Juice Newton.
I remember that song.
And I still sing it to this day. But I had no idea what I was singing when I was singing it then. I didn't know what I was singing about, I should say.
Well, it used to be that way with all the pop songs. Today, you know what you're singing about.
Yeah.
Back then, it was veiled.
It was veiled.
You know?
Yeah. And so, as a kid, I didn't know.
Anybody else in the family musical, or were you on your own?
I was on my own. Yeah.
Any brothers or sisters?
No.
I mean, did you have any brothers or sisters?
Yes, I do.
Okay, but they weren't in music at all.
Nope.
Are you the oldest of the kids?
No, I'm the baby.
You're the baby. So did your older brothers and sisters?
They just love music, though. They had tons of records and, yeah, tons. I mean, I was literally handed a box of, like, 45s and I would...
So you inherited a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and I would literally be in my room. There's pictures of me in my room with the record player on and, like, you know, I loved music.
What's a record player?
Right? What is a record player? Do you turn on a record player? Do you? What do you do with a record player?
So were you lucky enough to watch, you know, older brothers and sisters go to college and leave a bunch of records behind?
They ended up just moving out and went into the army and things like that. So I was, yeah, I got to keep their stuff. So
that's awesome. That's very, very cool. Now you've been doing shows around the Valley for a long time.
Yeah, I've been doing that.
Tell me a little bit about that.
I was in a band for like 5 years, I guess. And then before that, I was in a duo. And before that, I did some backups with a couple different people. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to do backups to start. I actually did not want to be a lead singer. I just wanted to do harmonies and backups. And then it turns out I'm like, went into the band and we had a lead singer and I was the backup singer, but the lead singer didn't work out. And I said, oh, well, I guess I can try. And
do you think that's
because
you came from choir and you felt comfortable singing parts with people? You just liked
maybe
that space?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know why that was. I mean, I am shy. I am a shy person, but I mean, I can do it. I like to do it.
But once you were the only background singer in a band, and then the singer just showed up sick or missing, it wasn't such a big stretch to step forward and sing.
That was fine.
And you got a real kick out of that.
Yeah, I ended up liking it. So.
So right now you do a lot of solo singing.
I do duos. I'm a duo right now, but yeah. So,
okay. Yeah. Now I want to play. We're going to get to some of your music and play, but before we do that, I'm not sure where are you from originally.
Oregon, Illinois.
Oregon, Illinois.
Yeah.
Now where in Illinois is Oregon?
I'm
from Peoria, actually. So
yeah, we kind of had this conversation a little bit, but yeah, it's 45 minutes from Rockford and 2 hours from Chicago ish. On the west side of Illinois. So
interesting.
Yeah, a little town.
When did you come to Arizona?
It's been about 21 years ago.
Been here a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it.
Any plans to go back?
Just to visit.
In the summer.
In the summer.
Yeah, it's cool. In fact, my daughter lives in Chicago.
Okay.
And she's coming out here in April.
Well, nice.
Which is going to be fun.
But it's going to be hot.
It's just getting there. She's coming out. I actually have a show, and she's coming. She's never seen me do a show.
Oh, nice.
Because I was in bands when she was little, you know. And,
right.
And then wasn't when she was grown up, and then we didn't live in the same state. So she's never seen a show. She's actually just flying out to see my show on the 2nd. So that's going to be fun.
That's awesome.
So I'm singing a song to her that I wrote for her that she's never heard. Well, she's heard it, but I mean she's never heard it sung before.
Nice.
So that's going to be exciting. So have you done any co-writing?
Lots of co-writing.
Is that your preference for songwriting?
Yeah. I really like it. I like to banter back and forth, figure out ideas. And you know, like I said, I barely play. So it's really nice to just tell somebody, hey, can you do that a lot faster than what I can even think about doing? Mm. It helps.
So when you say, when you think about, for me, I think co-writing is difficult because it's kind of like, maybe that's because I'm a control freak and a producer.
You're doing everything right now.
I know. Yeah, kind of. I like it. I like it that way. Leave me alone.
Awesome.
I'll do this all by myself.
This is great.
But co-writing I find to be really, really difficult because it's like I don't want to compromise any idea of mine that I like, but I'm completely willing to take any idea of yours that's brilliant.
Hey.
But it's kind of like I have to decide it's really great. So if there's when it comes down to, well, that line was great, we'll use it. And then there's half, you know, we both have a bunch of lines that aren't great. It's like, well, we're not going to use yours that aren't great.
We're not using yours.
It's really hard to do that and compromise artistically, I think. I've done had more success co-writing when one person's writing lyric and or lyric and melody.
And
the other person's maybe doing chord changes or something.
That's what I usually do.
When you kind of split it up.
Yeah. And we still say to each other, like, hey, can you, you know, there might be a fix that word or whatever. But, yeah, that's mainly how I end up writing is one person's doing the chord changes and the other person's doing the lyric.
What's one of the favorite songs of yours that you've written?
I've got some new ones that I'm in love with right now. And I did a challenge.
Good. I love that you're in love with the new ones.
I love the new one. I'm loving it. I decided last year, actually, that I was going to write a song a month. That was my challenge. Each month, I was going to at least come up with an idea. I got really close. I didn't get all the way to 12, but I got really close. And ended up writing from a place. So each song that I did write last year was actually, two of them I actually wrote by myself. I actually didn't have a co-write on. And then the rest were all co-writes. But I would say that I just really like my latest ones, I guess.
Well, tell me about one of them. What's one of the titles?
Monsters.
Okay.
And that's actually about, like I said, I wrote it from a place. So it's about...
You sent that to me.
Someone.
I have that. I like that a lot.
Oh, you do? Oh, good. Yes. That one I actually wrote about a friend's daughter who had a heroin addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to be a little veilish with that one, not in mm-hmm. your face about what it was about, but I still say some things in there that kind of lean towards that. But I was writing because I didn't know how to deal with something that was very, very serious situation.
Right.
And that turned out really, I just love my power behind some of the lyrics.
Well, to me, one of the measures for me of whether I, or tells me that I really, really love a song is when I hear it and I go, I want to record that. It's like, let's do that again.
Let's do it over.
Not that there's anything wrong, but right. I want to play. It's like, I want to play with it too because it's a great, great thing. And I thought Monsters was one of those songs. I thought, what a neat, neat song. And I felt like it deserves a huge budget. You know, it's just,
hey, man, I'm all about it. We need some sponsors right now.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those songs that needs to be done right. Well, you know, what's interesting is I'm working on a film and I have a meeting in the morning and I'm the music supervisor and I'm actually responsible for scoring the project. And
nice.
And this topically might apply. And so I'm going to take it with me.
Shut the front door.
And if they want to use it, it's like, maybe we'll have that money. And maybe we can pump this up a little bit because it's a nice presentation. I'm going to play that a little bit later on in the show because I did bring it to play.
Oh, nice.
But then I also wanted to ask you about another song that you sent me that I just thought was really, really cool. And that tune was called, Where Are You Here? I think it's Don't Be Afraid.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty neat little song.
Well, thank you.
Do you like that one?
I love it.
Is that one of the
it.
New ones, too?
Yeah,
one of the newest ones?
Newest ones, yeah.
Is that a co-write as well?
Nope, that one I wrote all by my lonesome.
See, look at you. And what about Monsters? You wrote that by yourself?
And I wrote that one by myself.
And these are the two I like the most of what you sent me. And here you are worrying about having co-writers.
That's so funny.
No, those are both, I thought. Well, I think sometimes, too, what makes a song really great is that it is honest and it's pure. In a sense, when you co-write, you compromise every single aspect of one person's energy for somebody else's, for some target that you think matches, oh, this should be a good song now, because, yeah, we're going to the minor, you know, when we should, that kind of a thing, as opposed to, well, this is how it comes out of me.
Yeah.
And that makes it more honest.
Yeah.
Both of those were my favorite, too. You also sent me a cut called... Forecast Calls for Drinking.
Yeah.
And what I liked the most about that was the title.
Yep.
So I thought, okay, write that again. That's a great idea.
Yep.
But it's like, it could be, it's a clever
idea. You wanted something else. All right.
So I thought that could be more. Maybe because I thought you were going to sing it and you weren't the vocalist.
I wasn't the vocalist, sure. No.
But that's kind of where that went for me. Well, I tell you what, let's do this. If it's okay with you, I'd like to go ahead and spin the track, Don't Be Afraid.
That's awesome, yeah.
Okay. I want to play that for people. I want them to hear it. So this is where did you record this song?
Actually, at Desert Coast Studios.
Okay, and that's here in the Valley?
Yep.
Okay. Anybody you want to credit for participating?
Steve Parrish.
Okay. Great. So here is Don't Be Afraid, Rhonda Jo Hitchcock Mast. Are you going to have a shorter artist name? Or
I'm going to have to.
Arjo?
Arjo. There okay. You go.
Don't be afraid to chase your dreams. Without dreams, where would this world be? Don't be afraid to say I love you. If you don't, you may not have a chance to. Don't be afraid to forgive. Don't be afraid to live. The future apart. Don't be afraid of coming to an end. Without the end, you cannot begin. And don't be afraid to let go. Don't be afraid to grow.
Listening to Otto D, coming at you live.
And I am Otto Daniolo with my guest, Rhonda Jo, Hitchcock Mass. And that tune was Don't Be Afraid. That's an awesome song.
Thank you for playing it.
Yeah, I love your voice on it, too.
Thank you.
It's very, very cool. The production is neat. It's not typical.
Yep.
You guys went ahead and did what you wanted to do.
Yep.
I appreciate that. Makes it fun to listen to. And besides your own career as an artist, as a writer, you are an interesting character because you've actually spent a crap load of time in your life helping other people in music. I mean, that's one way to put it.
But it is.
Correct me if I get any of this wrong, but back in October of 2007, reading from Wikipedia, you started an organization called Chicks with Picks.
Yes.
And you had a partner in that project. Her name was Pandy.
Yep.
Pandy Ray. And the two of you guys have done just unbelievable things for girls, female artists coming up. But before we dive too far into that, you know, it's like, here's your life. I'm going to bring somebody on. An old pal of yours, Pandy.
Woo-hoo,
Pandy, can you hear me? Are you there?
Hey, you two.
Hey, how are you doing?
There she is. There she is.
I'm in Kansas right now, but...
Cool. What a treat.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I was listening to the program and... isn't she a great songwriter?
Did you learn anything about
that?
No, really, seriously. I mean, but she is like one of my best friends in the whole world. So.
You know what? I think she's an incredible writer. And even these new cuts, I loved hearing her say that she was so excited about her new songs. And then the two I liked the most were the ones that she said she didn't have co-writers with. To me, it really speaks to how when you are true to yourself and you're creating something from inside, that it really rings true. You know, cohesiveness or some sort of continuity that's missing in a co-write sometimes.
I totally agree, and I get to hear, I'm fortunate enough to where we'll, you know, get done with the show or something, and then she'll say, come out to my car and listen to this song I'm working on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get to hear them, you know, the songs in their infancy, which is kind of cool to, after they're all completed and you get to hear them finished, and it's like, oh, that's
cool.
That's good. And I always say, oh, that's my favorite. Until she writes it, I say, oh, Oh, that's my favorite.
I know.
I like that one the best. I know.
That's cool. Doesn't it need to be inspired by your friends? I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Pandy, before we get too much into Chicks with Picks, which is what I really want to spend a little bit of time on because you guys have done such amazing things, let's just talk a little bit about you and kind of bring our listeners up to speed on who you are and your whole world. You're in Kansas now. But you were actually born to a very musical family. Was it in Nashville where you were born or in Tennessee?
No.
If I got that all wrong.
My parents actually were, you're kind of right here.
Okay.
They went to Nashville to follow their dream of music, and they hung out at the Grand Ole Opry, and they made a lot of cool friends out there and played with some amazing people. You look at our family album, and it has Hank Snow and people like that.
It's
the authentic.
So you sat on some famous laps when you were a little girl.
You know, I'll tell you what, it was so cool because they ended up coming back to Kansas and, you know, started a family and did all that. But they used me at 8 years old for their backup singer. That's how I started, actually, because they knew they could. I started kind of mimicking, you know, singing when I was very, very young.
Mm-hmm.
And they started teaching me harmonies. And so just like Rhonda, you know, I went on with that and really did harmonies my whole life. And later on in my musical career, I ended up switching over and did the lead position.
It usually happens when your partner doesn't show up. It's like, you got to sing.
Yeah, well, that's kind of it. It's out of necessity.
It right.
is where it begins. And then you go, okay, it's all right. And the band talks you into it and say, okay. But yeah, no, I came from a very musical family. They taught me everything that I know.
That's
and
cool.
I started playing at guitar at about 8 as well.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so I've been playing a long time. And I'm still playing. That's what I do still.
And you've written a ton of songs, I imagine.
You know, I went through, I was in a band that was pretty popular back in Arizona called Rendezvous. And in the beginning of Rendezvous' life, we opened up for a lot of national bands out there. And so that's when you really want to bring your original music to the forefront. So we cut a couple of CDs, you know, and they were pretty good. And the first one, actually, I did a lot of the writing on the first CD. So, I was really, really into songwriting for a while. And then I kind of I don't know, it's that old thing that people say, oh, well, I wish I had the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate that excuse. I mean, I'll go down the road and I'm the queen of saying things like, oh, that would be a great hook line because I've got a notebook.
Well, you just need to finish that phrase with that'd be a great hook line. I'll mail that to Rhonda.
Now we talk about
and get my co-write credit.
Yeah,
I know. Right. I know. I always am thinking about it, and I have a notebook with half-written songs, but I don't really do a lot of that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Chicks with Picks, kind of, between the band and Chicks with Picks, there wasn't a lot of time for me.
Well, for you personally, do you find performing is more fulfilling than writing, or is writing more work,
yes.
or just something that you do?
Yes, well, you know, Rhonda and I, we're kind of yin and yang.
Mm-hmm.
It's the things that she doesn't do, I do, and the things that I don't do,
right.
she does. And we really, I think we've been together for quite a while doing this, and the questions that some of the girls that come to us have, you know, some of them I can give an answer to maybe a little bit better than Rhonda, and then, of course, on the songwriting, I always say, okay, she's the queen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to talk to Rhonda about that.
She'd rather sit in a room and write a song, and you'd rather get on stage and sing a hit song that you know and love.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, let's talk a little about Chicks with Picks. So if you had to tell me in a nutshell, what is Chicks with Picks? What is it?
Well, it started out, and I'm not going to go through the whole story, but it started out to where we basically...
Sounds like I want the
you know,
whole
story. We,
yeah.
I know. You don't have time for that. I'll just talk your ear off about it. But no, Rhonda and I met each other when we were on the advisory board for the Arizona Music and Entertainment Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about how, you know, we kind of started taking over the bookings of our band. And we just kind of started talking about, you know, do you feel like it's a little bit tougher to maybe, you know, get in some of these venues, you know, being a female? I don't know. Are we just dreaming that up in our head, or do you think that, you know, really a valid thing? And so, and where are all the, you know, female musicians and singer-songwriters? I know they're out there. Well, this was, you have to understand, this has been quite a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They were, I think they're more in the forefront now, and I hope we had a little bit to do with that. But so anyway, so I had an open mic, and she said, hey, why don't we start, you know, just posting stuff and see if we can get some girls out. And oh my gosh, the floodgates opened. And we ended up having our festival, our first festival.
We had 35 girls.
All kinds of people.
Did you have the name Chicks with Picks when you did your first festival?
Yes.
So you came up with that pretty quick and said, let's do this little thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Within like 3 weeks. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
We really did.
So you had a festival with 35 artists.
35. Jessie Coulter actually came out and gave her time as well.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
She's always been a supporter.
And she's pretty much been at all the big shows for us. Yeah.
Always.
Well, she's a chick with a pick.
Today, she is. She's awesome.
Oh, yeah, she is. And I think today marks our anniversary, if I'm not mistaken.
On today.
It is. March 21st was our second big festival. Not our actual, like, first festival, but our second one.
Okay.
With Michelle Branch.
This
and
is the one
we had 75.
With Michelle Branch.
75.
We had 75 local acts.
Wow.
And
we had three stages. Michelle Branch was our,
Michelle
Branch. At that point, had Michelle already had a hit, so she was your big name, or was she still
coming
up?
Yeah, she was the big name.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah,
so that was a...
Yeah, she was with the Wreckers, I think, and, you know, Leave the Pieces and all that. So, yeah. But anyway, so I don't know. It's, what started it was that. And then it kind of... It just kind of pulled us
driving.
With it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you said it kind of pulled us with it. I would imagine. Yeah. Once you got started, you were functioning... You were trying to help female artists... get gigs, right, and represent
basically,
themselves
yeah.
in a sense. So really what you kind of became, I would think, in their eyes is their agent. It's like, oh, do you have a gig for me? They start coming to you to do the thing they couldn't do themselves, which you had just started doing for everybody.
Yep.
So all of a sudden, that had to become difficult.
Yeah. Well, I ended up making a lot of relationships with a lot of venues around town.
Right.
And so we kind of... And I went and talked to him and said, listen, you've got to give this a shot. And so Ron and I just started, you know, she's a graphic artist as well, you know, a woman of many talents.
Right.
And, but.
True
so,
artist.
You know, I know. So, I mean, she'd be doing all that for the shows and I'd be out there getting the venues. And then, of course, you remember Otto because you were one of our judges at one of the contests that we had. We had multiple contests.
I do recall that.
Yeah, and we appreciate that. Thank you. But
that
and
was a
Danny
very
Calisto
interesting event.
And yeah, a lot of people came out and were judges. But we would give the women also opportunities to record and you know, share the stage with people like Michelle Branch and Lucinda Williams and
right.
you know, people like that. But I want to mention, if I may, that we have formed a foundation in the last year or two, and that's why we're not doing the festivals for the last couple of years. We've really been focusing on that, and that basically we take all the girls that we've helped and we send them out into the community for functions that is going to raise money for the community and people in need. And so that's something that's kind of our baby too right now. So we've been kind of really, you know, digging into that a lot lately. So
that's interesting. Now, you've left town, so you just up and quit and left it all with right now. You've gone to Kansas City. So is this so now is the you know, organization interstate?
Everything's still on track. Everything's good.
I mean, do you have an office where you out in Kansas now, or you're in Kansas City, or where?
Listen,
are you?
Otto, let me tell you something. We never had our own office anyway. We had our office in our home.
Well, I mean, what people think of it as an Arizona thing. Do they still think of it that way, or do they think of it more like, no, it's not an Arizona thing anymore?
No, she actually has some interest out there.
Yeah, that's very interesting because I have had some female artists come up and say, "Hey, so are you going to do that out here?" And, of course, I've only been out here, Otto, since December.
Mm-hmm.
So I just now I'm, you know, getting my roots and everything.
And if Josie, out here, if Josie is listening from Kansas, she
no, that's my daughter.
Okay. She logged in. Okay. I'm listening.
I'm listening.
Josie and Carly are my two daughters, and they're grown, and I have four grandkids. Mm-hmm. And so that is why I'm back in Kansas City, because mm-hmm. I had a lot of people say, what are you doing? I mean, you're playing all the time. You know, you have this life here in Arizona. You've been here for over 16 years, and you've got chips with picks. What's going on? And I said, I just, you know, I have to be out there with my family.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes your soul just tells you, you know, that you need to do things like that, and that's why I'm here. But Ron and I, oh my gosh, we talk all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing things all the time, every mm-hmm. day, just mm-hmm. like we used to,
yeah.
you know. So
cool.
It is alive and well.
Well,
alive and well.
I read something in somebody's bio about the number of artists in booking, something about over 400 artists and over 2,000 mm-hmm. bookings so far with featured mm-hmm. artists through Chicks with Picks. That's
yeah.
pretty awesome.
Yeah, I was one tired lady.
I did give her an award that said the best booker ever.
Yeah. You know, and people within our organization would always say, you know, kind of call me. And I actually called myself this, too, that I was the crazy woman behind the curtain. Because a lot of times for our bigger shows, like, well, at their Hard Rock or whatever, you know, I would have Rhonda go out there and MC it, and I'm going crazy hooking up cords and making sure the next person's getting ready to get up on stage
and dealing,
you know,
with the venue and the guest list and all the crap.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But then Rhonda comes out on stage and she has her big smile and it's just like, all right, we've got this.
Okay, so just from this point, I can tell you right now, when your parents put you on stage at 8 years old, you sat on a chair mm-hmm. in your jeans and read your lyrics. But when Rhonda was the kind that danced on stage in her little pink dress and no one even told her to come out. It's like, Rhonda, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Oh, my God, Otto. Have you seen her home videos? No, I'm kidding.
No,
that's probably exactly what happened. She still does that.
No, I don't.
I thought she was just wearing the pink dress here tonight as a gag. No.
That's hilarious. No, but so we've had a great time. We're still having a good time. And I mean, we're proud of our girls. I mean, you know, some of them have went on and done some amazing things,
mm-hmm.
and it's just, yeah, it's we're like proud parents, you know.
And with that being the case, it's really hard to say to start to talk about the girls without talking about all of them. You know, people would feel like you were picking favorites, and
yeah.
I don't want to go there. But do you have a current roster or a roster of people you work with? Or, I mean, for example, are there about an active 20 or 30 girls at the time
yes.
that are working
yes.
in a particular market?
Yep.
Yeah, you know, and that's really true. We have some girls that are in rotation at certain venues,
mm-hmm.
Just because the venue requested it that way.
Sure.
So, yeah, but, I mean, there's, like, We'll get requests still via email from women internationally that says, hey, we're coming, you know, to the States.
That's got
to
be
neat.
Just got two last week.
That's got to be neat.
Yeah. So we still have these connections, even though we may not be, you know, booking the girls as much. We still feel like family. And I know they do. They share the same feeling. We do.
Sure.
And, but it's the most awesome feeling is when we get them all, you know, or a lot of them in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
And they start talking to one another about what they've been doing because maybe they haven't seen each other for a while.
Right. And I'm sure they support each other a lot as
yeah.
well.
They do. They end up, a lot of them have ended up writing together and.
Cool.
And it's really
so you've
a
done
cool
so
thing.
Much more than help people get gigs. You've really created a community of people that had an experience in common and became, in a sense, partners in this endeavor.
Yeah.
Well, and I think so. That's how we view it anyway. And, you know, it's great because you may have a 12-year-old that is just, you know, getting over, you know, some of the stage fright or kind of wanting some mentorship. But then you see them talking to the 15-year-old, and then you see the 15-year-old talking to the 21-year-old. And it's just kind of this thing to where it's like, it's a community within a community. I mean, they're all helping each other. And it's amazing. That's kind of our best moments, I think, that Rhonda and I can say that we've had, is seeing that, you know, togetherness with them. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a particular memory or event or a particular, character that came up that you recall that was just a special moment for you with the organization that made you feel like, you know, we're doing something really cool?
Like she said, it's been a couple times. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you say yours and I'll say mine.
No, you say yours.
We got a lot of girls together. And this has been a while, Rhonda. I can't remember how long ago it's been. It was at Scottsdale Studios. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And, yeah, we were all there. I mean, there was a lot of girls there. And it was a nice day out. Of course, it's almost always a nice day. But
just,
yeah,
it's just like today. Nice often. Day, like today.
Like today.
Like, well, okay, I'm in Kansas City, all right. Things are changing. But anyway, they were all hanging out and goofing off and taking their guitars off in a corner and talking, you know, or playing together. And just, it was a sisterhood thing. I know it sounds whatever, but it really was. And Ron and I were standing back, and we were just watching this, because I don't know how many girls were there, like 40 or something like that. And we're like, oh, my gosh. And we had a moment. We kind of teared up. We've had a couple of those, by the way.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of those.
I'd expect.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's one moment for me that just popped out. We have many. But that popped out. What pops out for you, Rhonda? What were you
know, it's kind of the same thing. I kind of remember the same thing where we had the girls all in one room like that. And then when you watch them and you're just like, wow, these girls are really talented. And we kind of helped, you know, get them here. It's a neat feeling.
Well, and everybody has, you know, their own background. Like, for example, you yourself, Rhonda, you were a nanny.
I've been a nanny.
You were a gas station video store cashier.
Yes.
And you were also a wax chaser.
Yes.
What the heck is a wax chaser?
Everyone asked that. I was actually working for a fine arts studio that basically they make all these big bronzes for, you know, they take and they use wax to, you have to, that's like process with the bronzing for sculpture. And And I was the wax chaser, which basically you fill in the holes in the wax.
Okay. So the old saying, without wax, was a perfect sculpture. I had a friend call his record Without Wax, and he tried to explain that to me.
There you go.
So I think that you probably have met a lot of girls coming up through the organization, a lot of, especially the younger ones, who are doing something else, and they're wanting to do this, and they have all these other things in their lives at the time. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes I think I've known in my life and in people that have crossed my paths that their music career, whether it's you know, financially rewarding or not, it's another issue. But still, it saves their life in a sense.
Oh, yeah.
Because it kind of reaffirms their soul and the purpose that they have here. And they really come to life when they abandon what they nailed themselves to and do their music. And you must see that happen sometimes as you support these guys walking into their dream, in a sense, and helping them get that going.
And that's what's cool about the whole thing. It is that. You're talking about a dream here the whole time. And it's interesting. It's an interesting, and it is a business, but that is an interesting business where you see it right on their faces how important.
They haven't learned to have faith in the fact that they're designed for something,
right?
And then to embrace it and go, I'm supposed to do this,
right?
Even if it's going to be hard. And you help them. That's going to be hard, but hey, we can help you.
Yeah,
and there's a community of us all going through this.
Yeah.
Know?
Very, been there, done
cool.
that, or whatever, yeah.
Is there an event coming up for Chicks with Picks in the near future? Or is primarily your focus is on the foundation?
The foundation. We always have weekly gigs, though. You can always check it out on the website. But
and what would the website be?
You can go to azchickswithpicks.com or just chickswithpicks.org.
Okay, chickswithpicks.org.
Same location. It goes right to the same spot. Probably easier to say chickswithpicks.org.
Okay. So who came up with Chicks with Picks, by the way?
We kind of, I don't remember.
Yeah, it was a co-write.
Oh, I remember.
You said,
I remember this story.
She said, with.
I remember that.
Good. Pandy remembers
it. Well, I remember the conversation, and where we were going back and forth and back and forth, and we really did it in a day. But we kept calling each other back, going, what about this? Well, that's close, but I don't know when. Because we kind of, we just, and then all of a sudden, I think it blurted out of Rhonda's mouth because we were going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I got, that's it.
I know, and then I thought somebody came to me who was a keyboard player and said, I don't know if they'll take you. It's not, no, it's not chicks take, with talent, it's no, chicks with picks.
It's, I know, it's just a clever little name, but yeah, we take.
We just thought it was cute.
Yes. It was very cute.
Come on.
It was very cute.
Picks as in guitar picks. Yeah,
yeah, and you know, it's easy to remember, so it goes, so everybody catches on. I think it's a great name.
And then we had, you know.
I did have a friend, I think, help.
We're called what's that?
I think a friend was helping us, kind of. I don't know, and it's kind of coming back now. Go ahead.
That's
sorry.
Been a long time.
Sorry.
No, I just said, and then our festivals were called Chick Stock, which I always thought was just so cute.
Cool.
Right.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, Pandy, I want to get back and play another track of Rhonda's that she sent me.
So okay, I'll listen.
If you're down with that, we're going to spin a cut called Monsters.
That's so cool.
And have you heard this one?
Good one. Oh, of course I have.
Of course, yeah. Oh, so I was kind of late to the game.
Okay. It was a good one. It's a good one. It's good.
Yeah, I like the song. So we're going to go ahead and spin this real quick. This is Monsters by Rhonda Arjo.
Arjo.
Here you go.
She thinks she's alone in the dark. One more hit to clear her head, that's when they come out. It starts. Monsters dance around her bed, they have a hold on her tonight. She doesn't even put up a fight. She's hiding from the past, running far, fading fast. She closes her eyes, spreads her wings, she flies. Takes her to another time, back to when she was 10. She's out of sight, out of mind. She knew her monsters back then. She's shaking underneath the sheets. The nightmare is on repeat. The door rattles to her room. She's pretending she's on the moon. She closes her eyes, spreads her wings, she flies. Crashes to the floor. She's never hit this hard before. She knows she's gotta decide between the monsters and her life. She gets up. She's heading out. No more monsters. No more monsters in her head. Her eyes spread her wings, she flies high, she flies so high, high, she flies so high, she flies, she flies away.
Listening to Otto D coming at you live.
And that was Monsters by Rhonda Jo. And this is the Otto D. Show with Rhonda Jo, Hitchcock Mast, and Pandy Ray with us today from Chicks with Picks. And I want to thank everybody for listening. I've got a few more minutes. Before we go there, though, I got to do one little plug. I have a show coming up on April 2nd.
April 2nd.
Yay!
And it's at the Hall, which is at Pranksters.
So oh, yeah.
So to give everybody an idea of what the heck they would hear, Mel Brown's in my band this week. I have a different band every week.
You have a different band.
You book a show, and then you see who's available. And my daughter's flying in from Chicago for this show. It'll be the first time she's seen her dad, so that's going to be fun. But I want to play a 90-second version of my last album. Okay, this is all the songs cut together into a 90-second demo.
Whoa.
To give you an idea of what we're going to hear at the show.
Nice.
So, here you go. This is Otto D's amusing CD.
All right.
The little Spanish disco song isn't part of the show,
nice.
But it is on the record.
That's awesome.
That's great, Otto. Hey, is that the hall located?
Yes.
Frankfurt, too?
Yeah.
Yeah,
awesome.
The Thomas and McClintock location where the Arizona Music Entertainment Hall of Fame is now situated.
Yep.
And
yeah,
just,
we were just there. What was that? I think
September.
It was 4 months ago, Rhonda.
It was September.
September.
A couple weeks ago. A couple weeks ago, they had the Francine Reed CD release party
over
there.
Oh, nice.
And I know.
And Francine was in here on the show the Monday before. And that place was standing room only.
Wow.
It was
She's
packed.
Awesome.
Nice.
I knew her sister, Margot Reed, really
yeah.
well, too.
Yeah,
so,
I knew Margot as well, dear friend. So that was a fun show, and it's a great little venue. So when are you going to come
it
back
is.
To Arizona, Pandy? You going to come back and visit?
Yeah, you know what? I may come back. I told Rhonda, if we end up doing a big fundraiser or something, I'm definitely going to be coming back.
So that's how we get you
We've
here.
Been yep. talking. Yeah, that's how you get me there. And so we've been actually
to
talking
work.
About, we've been talking about doing something here, in about, in the fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it'll probably be in the fall I'll come back.
Okay, maybe even a festival type event kind of thing, or just a fundraiser type of deal.
Well, I don't know.
We're still batting around some ideas.
Yeah, I know. So we'll see. But yeah, I'll be coming back, and we'll have to do something. And we want to raise some money for our foundation, and give out. You know, we want to see all the girls in one spot. You know, and the Hard Rock's been real good with letting us come in there and do some things. And the hall, that'd be a good place too. I mean, just. So we have to figure out where we're going to have it and just the details. And we'll let you know, though, Otto.
Well, you know, you have enough artists now. Maybe what we'll do is we'll have it at both places at the same time.
Ah, yes.
Ooh, there we go.
Yeah. You take one and I'll take one.
Okay. Well,
what we'll do is we'll put up cameras. We'll put up, because both places, the Hard Rock has screens.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll put up cameras at Pranksters at the hall. And you can watch that event on the screens at the Hard Rock because they'll let you give them whatever video
and
feed
then
you
vice
want.
Versa.
Yeah,
there
and
you
put
go.
A screen up at the other place. So you can kind of be at both venues at the same time.
There you go.
Like a big,
you're onto something there.
Like a Skype call.
Okay, we're gonna have to get Otto in on this.
I'm in. I'm all about it.
Roping him in.
Be absolutely no problem. Well, Pandy, I want to thank you for joining us this evening. I know it's late over there. You guys are a couple hours ahead of us.
Yeah, we had the time change happen, so.
Well, I appreciate your time. And Rhonda, thank you so much.
Thank you. This has been fun. Yeah.
So don't wait 5 years to send me your new songs.
Okay.
Ship them out as soon as you got them.
Okay.
All right.
That's very cool. Thanks for playing them.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.